You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast. Elliot Chore Parks and Jordan Mailata interviewer. Yes. Elliot Chore Parks, no big deal. How you doing,
dude? Let me tell you,
James Seltzer. I think I said your name twice there, but James Might Seltzer have. As well. How you doing, buddy?
Your name should be said twice.
No, stop.
Come on, Tucky over here.
Tucky.
My name should be said zero times.
Tucky.
So I did the Jordan Mailata thing last night, dude. Let me tell you, there is something very rewarding about doing something you're nervous to do and then just doing it.
Oh yeah.
Like, it sounds very simplistic, but like, I was so nervous to do it. Like, literally from last week when I found that I was doing it, like, every day I was thinking about it.
I would have talked you through it.
So what I did was I didn't ask anyone for advice, really, because I didn't want to make it seem like a bigger deal than it was, you know, so I didn't like psych myself out. I wrote all the questions down on cards. Like, I was very prepared, but there is something very rewarding about like,
achieving something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, even though it's not, like, yeah, it's not like,
no, but you faced a little fear and you conquered it.
But it's so funny. Everyone at the thing is like, oh, how could you be nervous? You're on the radio all the time. I'm like, this is so different.
Yeah, there's a group of live people.
No, like, honestly, at times I'll be doing radio hits and I just feel like I'm on the phone.
Forget, yeah.
Yeah, like, I forget everyone in the tri-state area can hear me.
In the room with
yes.
Now, personally,
which is probably good.
I prefer a crowd personally, me with my personality, but that's because I am who I am. Yes. Ridiculous.
Me, not as much.
As much, yeah. But no, it's completely different. I feel like when I was early in my career, like before I was even hired anywhere, I was an intern back in the day, I was in grad school. We had, do you remember Jonathan Coachman from ESPN? Coach,
no.
Tucker remembers. He was like an ESPN anchor and stuff. Now he's with WWE. He's a big WWE guy. We had him on because my co-host on my show was like a big wrestling guy, and he got him through that. And he spent hours. So he was really awesome. It was great. And we asked him, like, what's the one piece of advice that you would give someone who's, you know, like us trying to get into this? And he said, when that red light goes on, imagine it's not there. Like, pretend like there is no red light. You're not talking to anyone out there. Like, it's just you there. And it's funny because it's like, I naturally am like that. Like, it's really hard for me to think about people listening to what we're doing. It's great. I feel like you have to, in a way, figure that out. But it is a unique thing. It is a weird thing. I agree with
that.
And very different from talking to a crowd of people. Like, totally, completely, fully different.
So Middleton was there.
Oh,
he was like front center.
Like, hey
yeah. Good no, I was going to say hi, but then I was like,
oh, because I think it's because of Montgomery, the award. Right?
Yeah, the first year, the Philadelphia Youth Sports Collective has added David Montgomery's name to the award,
which is great. David Montgomery,
for sure.
Awesome Philadelphia, you know.
Now, this is like, so you know, a good pod joke. I probably wouldn't say it on the air, but like, they were like, Elliot, we're going to need you to explain like David Montgomery a little bit.
You were like, oh, good. Thanks.
And I was like, well, good news, guys. I know literally nothing about him. So I will try my best. But it was cool. But the other takeaway, obviously, is like, man, Jordan Mailata. Like, you want to talk about
what a great guy he is.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, the fact that the Eagles have had like Brandon Graham to Kelce, they're both gone now, and they needed someone to kind of step into that role. And I think Jordan is definitely.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah.
You know, like, represents the team well, personable, very funny.
Also, like, feel like it is his obligation to do it. Like, he almost feels like he embraces that role.
I think he very much, because he didn't like grow up watching American sports as much, I feel like the fact that he came over here and saw Kelce and BG, it was very easy for him to be like, this is what I should.
I also think that, to the conversation we were just having, I think he's just that type of person. Like, he's a performer, he's a singer, he does all these things. Like, I think he's someone who feels very comfortable in a room with people, feels very comfortable being the center of attention, all that type of stuff.
I mean, in the middle of the event, he literally got up and there was a what are they called that you give speeches on? Why can't I think of it?
It's a podium.
A podium. I feel like there's not like a lectern or people.
Sure. Lectern. Yeah. That's more like for professors in college.
Right.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's kind of hype that they call it that, but whatever. So I mean, like, it's a podium. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so in the middle of it, he gets up and moves it and knocks it over and it falls apart. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, honestly, thank God you did that.
Yeah.
Really broke the ice of my nerves. Yeah. So, it was good. So,
he has an
event coming up on the 11th. He's going to sing at Stateside.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool. What a voice.
Yeah.
What a talented human. Imagine being that talented.
It's very unfair.
All right, let's get into something that
not a great transition.
No. A talented human as well, but not a talented thinker in this case. Nolan Smith, obviously, I think the biggest news of the morning. Arrest. I believe it actually happened last weekend, and we're just
seems like last Friday,
right? In Georgia, going 135 miles, 137. Great, even better.
Yeah,
miles per hour. Obviously, look
in the seven. I mean, obviously, the speed
on a highway,
was,
right?
Yeah, but it's worth noting that is almost twice the speed limit.
Yes,
he was going.
And it's look, we know that you know. In the there are things that players have done that are worse and all that. We know. I mean, look, we had a player get, you know, driving with a gun, and we've had all these different things happen here and stuff. I think this one is so upsetting, and obviously because Nolan Smith was there when a teammate freaking died from this. Nolan Smith is here with Jalen Carter, who was a part of that. It just feels so like I'm trying to come up with a better word than stupid, but because stupid doesn't encompass everything that it is. It is like so
It's reckless.
It's stupid. It's offensive. It's all these things. It's like, it's upsetting that this guy who had that experience, if nothing else, is tight with Jalen Carter, who had that experience, would, you know, take that kind of risk and do that kind of thing where, you know, in like obviously could get caught and it could become public.
Right.
And just in general, like you would think something like that happens to you or to someone you're close with and you're like, well, I'm never speeding again. I might go 5 miles under the speed limit for the rest of my life. I know that's what happened with me. Yeah. You know, what do you make of the whole, especially because Nolan, I think until now, forgetting the on the field stuff, we have thought of as a real, you know, stand up leader type guy off the field. It was unexpected to.
So I have a bunch of thoughts. First, the thing you said that hit me the most is the last thing, which is that Nolan is viewed by fans as like this stand up leader guy. I do not think that's how he's viewed in the building. And I don't think it's been like that for a while.
That's interesting. Right? Cause like, when he came in, we had that kind of feel with it. Right.
Right. Exactly.
I remember you talking about
when I first talked to Nolan for the,
like, whoa.
I was like, this dude's the next Brandon Graham.
Yes, yes.
It has not been like that for a really long time. He very, very rarely talks to the media. When he does. And again, I'm not portraying him just through media, but point I'm making is the idea that he was going to step into this role and being a leader on a team, I just do not think is true. I don't even think he's like the top 10 leaders on the team, right? I think of the Georgia guys, Jordan Davis obviously, N'Kobe Dean. Frankly, I think Jalen Carter is a better influence in that locker room than Nolan Smith.
And that, wow, that is
so like,
something.
I think this idea of who Nolan, we thought he was going to be, that is not who he has become. Now, that doesn't mean he will always be this person.
He can come,
right? Yeah, he is a young man, right? Now, in terms of making... in terms of what he did, like you said, I understand, like, you don't want to say stupid because it doesn't encompass everything.
It was stupid. It's just not enough. I'm feeling like stupid is not a strong enough word to grab how I feel about what he did. You know what I mean?
And hopefully he knows how dumb what he did was. And hopefully the people around him are telling him that. And it's not really like my place to like scold him for what he did. But there is no doubt it is extra dumb and reckless because of Jalen Carter. Yeah, like, it's just
exactly.
There's no question about it.
Exactly right.
Like, it would literally be like if you made a mistake on air that was a really bad mistake, and then I did the exact mistake that was completely avoidable.
Yep.
Like, this wasn't slipping up and saying a word on, you know, something you shouldn't have said. This isn't making a comment where you maybe didn't understand all the context. This isn't whatever. Like, he was driving
doubling the
twice
speed limit,
the speed limit.
And it's a high speed. He was on a highway. He's doubling the speed limit on a highway.
I mean, 137 miles is insane. And forget how dumb it is for him in his career. It's reckless for everyone around you, right? So, like, it is very dumb of him to do.
Like, real quick, just on the 135 thing, like, we've all, like, I've
never driven over 100 miles an hour. So like, I can think. Maybe I got
so
close.
I've got, so that's a point. That's what I was going to say. Is it in my mini, like, we've all been going.
In your mini.
We've all been going the speed of traffic, right? And you're just driving. You're like, whoa, look at that. I'm going 93 miles. I've gotten to 100. I've not, like, passed, but I've, like, seen, like, whoa.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
And then you know what you do? You slow the F down.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, how did I let it get? I can't believe, I didn't even notice. Like, he was going 137.
It's
I know he's in a Lamborghini, so you don't know. Like, I have driven, not a Lamborghini, but when you drive a BMW or something like that, like, you can go faster without noticing.
Right.
The car handles it better, so you do feel like you're going slower than you would in another car. But, man, he got the gauge. It was 137.
Well, and
like,
also,
you're flying by people. Like,
it's just, like, you are an Eagle. You are an NFL player.
Yes,
you
yes.
went to it. Like, all those things matter. And here, to me, I think is the part where it's, like, he's going to learn now or not. Nolan Smith, like as a person, could not be closer to getting life-changing money. Think about Nolan Smith like the high schooler, right? It's like, I want to play football. Well, he got to Georgia, right? Like, he did that. He worked hard enough to get to Georgia. He then was at Georgia, was good enough in like limited snaps, honestly, like he missed a lot of time, to then be a first round pick, right? He then, as a first round pick, was good enough when the Eagles won the Super Bowl to like be handed essentially a starting job the next year, right? And still, like, there's a world where the Eagles could pay him. He could not be closer to like 10 years of work paying off. And to make this mistake now, it's just so, it's poor really, judgment.
And like, that's the thing.
It's sad for him because like, bro, you are so close to everything you worked for, and this is setting you back. But this is the other thing that we kind of started with that I really want to hammer home. It's not just this. Like, I think the Eagles would be very open to trading Nolan Smith if they could get good value back. I think Jalix Hunt is like, is viewed as three times the player and leader by the Eagles than Nolan Smith is. Jonathan Greenard, I think, is here directly
because
Nolan Smith has not panned out. So like, I still think Nolan has talent. I still think that Nolan could maybe be a leader, right? But man, like, he's blowing it. Like, it is, he is right there. He needs one season of being a good football player and he will probably get $50 million, right? But man, when you make mistakes like this, if I'm the Eagles, how could I ever feel comfortable paying him? And I think, you know, I don't know if I've ever said this on the pod. I don't know if I have. So last year, the Eagles, you've been in the Eagles locker room, right? Like, they're all by positions. Mm-hmm. Like, and Chip changed it briefly, but then it got changed back.
Yeah.
So for 2 years, Nolan Smith's locker has been next to Jalix Hunt by all the edge rushers. Last year, there was one player whose locker got moved, and it was Nolan's. And it got moved between Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter on the defensive tackle side, right? Away from the edges, in between two of his friends. I don't know why they did it, but it feels very intentional to me that this is someone that I think they have concerns about, that they moved it to another part of the locker, right? I asked Nolan about it and he wouldn't really talk about why it got moved. But that to me is a sign like something's going on and they wanted him around like his friends.
I agree. Now, I don't think there's really many. I mean, it could be anything. We don't know, but
he's the only player that moved.
I don't know really how you take that any other way.
Yeah, he's the only player that moved, right? So like, I don't know. Like, look, obviously he's an Eagle. He's a human. We all want the best for everyone. But man, Nolan, like, you are right there and you really messed up by doing this, because if I'm the Eagles now, I don't even know if I would sign him to a contract.
Even if
he would take a huge discount.
I would do the fifth year, but I don't think I'd sign him to a contract past that.
And this is the tough thing. Let's say he has 12 sacks this year.
Well, then it's a whole different discussion.
Then it's a whole different discussion, but this will always be part of it. Much like Jalen Carter's thing was way more serious in college, but Jalen Carter's thing still gets brought up. And so if Nolan has an awesome year and we're talking about paying him, this is something that will get brought up. Like, and it's always on his record now. So that's what's unfortunate. And hopefully he realizes what a mistake he was. Hopefully he turns this around and he ends up, you know, having a great year. But it was a really dumb decision by him in a really important year for his career.
Yeah, it's hard to trust him as a member of your team, you know? And look, we don't know that it won't make him do dumb things. Like, his judgment is in question.
For sure.
Like, Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott, you know, that's the newest, obviously way worse before, but like, judgment's still in question. Yeah. That's why we talk about, can they give Jalen Carter the contract that he deserves as a football player, has earned as a football player? That's probably why he still hasn't gotten it yet. I mean, the Jalen Carter type player usually gets the contract now in this offseason. Like, you don't mess around. You buy out those last 2 years, you get a value, all that type of stuff, but they can't because of that. And this is, and Jalen Carter is a lot better football player than Nolan Smith.
Better.
He has a lot more room for them to give him rope. So yeah, I think this is a major mistake by Nolan. And again, I think when you put in the context of Jalen Carter and the Georgia thing, it makes it that much worse. It really does. The optics on it are so much worse. And it makes him look like he has even worse judgment than he would have if he had just gotten the ticket.
So we're recording this Thursday morning. I know we're going to talk about Sean Mannion in a minute, but Vic Fangio talks later today.
Yeah.
And be curious to see what he says.
I agree. Right? Like, he will be asked about it.
Now, he's not a man of many words, but he's a man of honest words when he talks. I could picture him saying one to two things. Either going like, I'm not talking about it.
Yep.
Or just
that
going
was
like
dumb
stupid.
And that's my guess. That was my first thought. That was dumb.
And I mean, Jim Schwartz said, I forget who it was about. It might have been about Nigel Branum.
It was about Nigel Branum, the dumbass. Yeah. Yes.
He's like, you do enough dumb things, people are going to think you're dumb.
Or no, whatever. If you knew
it. Well, I don't like to say.
Okay. Yeah. If you do enough dumbass things, people are going to call you dumbass.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know?
Yeah. So, like that. Yeah. That's
quote him right.
Yeah. No, you're right. Well, I don't
it's
wanna,
a little, it's I don't a curse phrasing might be exact. It's not a curse to say dumbass.
It's crazy to me. That's not.
I know.
I'll never say that on air. I know. I
you are so funny with ass.
Not for me.
Tucker, how uncomfortable is he? It's so funny.
He is really uncomfortable.
It's just it's a top three curse word.
And but you can say dumbass.
On the radio, on TV, you could say dumbass.
I know. It's too close to cursing. Man.
But it's not. Ass isn't a curse. I could say ass.
I know. That's crazy to me too.
Stop being an ass. I can say that.
I never will say it.
I know. All right, let's get to Mannion. And I guess Vic, I don't think there's too much exciting outside Vic,
Are we almost retired?
Yeah. How much time do you have left? Or is this your last year? Like that's a but the Mannion thing is obviously incredibly fascinating.
Yeah.
It's the first time we're hearing this guy speak. To your point on our Tuesday pod, I think as much as anything, it's kind of how does the guy handle the room? What is he like in this situation? Even as much as the content of what he's saying. But let's get into some of the most interesting things we want to hear from Mannion, the type of questions asked today. I think we all know, I think the first, second, third questions are probably going to be about Jalen Hurts or if not, you know, maybe they won't be right. But the point is the crux they're going to get into Jalen. Questions about how does he fit the offense? Can he do what you want him to do? The article about him this offseason, the coachability. There's a lot of stuff with the Jalen thing. What do you think is the most interesting angle?
So my guess is you're right. He will get asked a lot of Jalen questions. Now, to be clear, I don't expect him to give anything to his honest opinion of this. Like, he's not going to get up there and be like,
he is uncoachable. Right.
Exactly. Right. Figure that out. Here's what he's going to say. He's going to be like, I've been around Jalen since I've been here. It's been unbelievable. I love working with Jalen. Like, for everything I know, Jalen's opening to run, and we'll see if that makes sense in this offense. Right. Like, I've seen Jalen throw the ball over the middle. So that is what he will say. Now, what I think is interesting questions for him too is, and this is what I was thinking of asking, I got to figure out the phrasing, but like last year, Kevin Petullo's house got egged. There's a lot of pressure in this job.
Yeah.
Like, what did you know? What did you know about the job coming in? And you know, like, what about the pressure you'll be in this?
It's a must.
Right. So I think there's something there with that.
It's a must. I think we talked about before. I think there's definitely questions about what have you learned from McVay and O'Connell on the floor and working with
The tough thing is I don't think he'll get.
He won't talk scheme.
You're right.
But you still got to get.
I was going to ask him something. I know you're not going to get into scheme, but what is it about the offense you're going to run that you really like?
Ooh,
do you think really fits these players? Right? Yeah. I think he'll get asked an AJ question.
Sure. Maybe a Saquon question.
Yeah. I also think he'll get asked, do you have full autonomy of the offense?
Yes.
Because we do this every year with the coordinator.
No doubt. Who has the final say?
It's a collaborative effort, right? Sure. So I think really.
He'll get asked a question about Nick, working with Nick.
He'll get asked about
what's it been like working with Nick so far and all that.
I think to your point, what it's more about is just like, this is our first time watching him talk. Like, and the flip side of is Nick had a really bad first press conference.
So did Doug. Did Charlie Manuel,
and I think
so many people.
This is the biggest, honest to God, this honestly might be the biggest moment of his career so far.
You're talking over getting drafted, you sit for, you know, like to make it as a, you know,
in
the
terms of pressure.
You're a third round pick. You got to make the team, all that type of stuff.
I guess maybe his first start.
I think probably is making the team and like getting a role
in college.
Oregon
State. That's not like
that. But still, I think first start, and then I think this probably.
He is walking into a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be understandable and natural to be nervous as someone that was just nervous about a 20-minute thing last night. I'm not going to sit here and like begrudge him for, you know, besmirch him for being nervous. But I do think like if he walks in and is in like complete control of the
room, it's going to do wonders for this
funny
fan base
up there. Like,
and it'll help him. Like, again, we have learned from those mistakes with Doug and Nick and stuff, but there are still people who hold Nick that stuff against
him. Yeah, 100%.
Like, it gets brought up.
First impressions matter.
Smart, 100%. Not smart, not a football. Like, all this stuff, like, that stuff still comes up.
Right.
So, like, it does matter. Like, I'm with you. I'm not going to make any long lasting aspersions about the guy based on his first press conference, but it will impact how Eagles fans feel about him moving forward.
The flip side of that, while I understand being nervous, if he gets up there and is like
overly nervous
tripping over his words,
that's
and
a problem.
Like, it's a problem.
It's concerning, if nothing else. I don't know that it actually is a problem, but it will concern us.
Yeah, especially when the whole issue with him is he is
young and inexperienced.
Right, exactly. So, I'm excited just to see, you know, if I were him, I would probably be very, very defensive of Jalen, you know, maybe come out and say something strong. Like, look, what happened in the past is the past.
I love everything about the guy,
Jalen. I get to coach a Super Bowl. Like, I think that would benefit.
Do you guys know how hard this guy works?
Exactly. Have you seen him? Yeah, 100%. Yeah, super coachable. But like, I think that would really benefit him.
I agree with you.
You know, I think just from a good PR standpoint. So,
and for the locker room, like at the end of the day, whether, you know, and I do think Sean Mannion is like, I honestly don't think that Sean Mannion will get fired after 1 year, almost no matter what happens. Like, obviously, if it's the worst offense in the history of the NFL, and
there's a slim chance the whole staff gets fired.
Yes, like if he can't, right. But I think Sean Mannion has a little bit of rope. Okay. Agreed. So but having said that, he has to know that having Jalen on his side, having Jalen believe in what he's doing, is going to make his job easier. So like, get Jalen on your side. You know,
although Scott Leffler would probably be like, you know,
but we don't know that Leffler's job wasn't easier last year because
he got fired.
Yeah, like, but I don't think that was, you know, cause of whatever.
But no, so I'm excited. I mean, hopefully, you know, maybe we'll talk to him more frequently. Like, so we'll be interested to see what he says.
I am excited. And everyone check out the Daily Pod. Elliot will have
the
whole presser in, but then we'll have your reaction to it and stuff too. It'll be great. All right. All right. So let's get to one other thing, because you did your top 10 Eagles.
I did. And I did a lie detector about it.
Yes. How'd that go, by the way, the whole lie detector thing?
Let me tell you something about lie detectors.
So I don't even know what happened. Like, I didn't pay any attention to it.
Okay, so you know, I said,
normally when I leave at 10 o'clock, I'm pretty more 11 o'clock. I try and check out on the day.
Especially Survivor.
That's right.
But
don't tell me what happened in Survivor. I forgot, just for people to understand, this is off pod, just so people can understand what we're talking about. So Survivor finale last night. Emily and I have not watched.
It was
watched
the finale?
It's the finale last night of the season.
Okay. So yeah. All right, I won't say anything more.
Yeah, so don't say anything. It was the finale of the season last night. And I don't get to watch it till the next day because, you know, it's late for me and I have to go to bed. So Emily and I watch it. I wake up to a text from Elliot about Survivor last night. I'm like, mother effer.
What are the chances?
I think I had like 3 WTFs in the text. It's okay.
You're lucky I didn't understand what was going on.
Yes. And I got out of it quickly. I didn't see it, but I was like, do not tell me anything else. Do not text me.
Well, you know what the funniest part is? And I think this is safe to say, I don't know who won.
Yeah. Which is funny. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's just good.
Anyway. Yeah. So
it's
all over the timeline.
Yeah, I know. I've not opened Twitter. I've been avoiding it.
Yeah. So I forget what we were talking about.
I don't remember either.
Detectors.
About my top 10.
Oh,
yes,
the lie detector. Okay, you're right.
See,
good call. So I did my top 10 Eagles 2 weeks ago, and I put Jalen as the top player on the Eagles. And the afternoon show, to no surprise, did not believe Jalen was the first player on the Eagles, the top player on the Eagles. So they asked me to
the Jalen hater show?
Yeah. So they asked me to do a lie detector, which I gladly did. And the lie detector said I was being deceptive about putting Jalen as my number one player. So here's what I would say about lie detectors. I have great respect for Nate, who came in and did it. Mm-hmm. What a career he's had doing lie detectors. I cannot believe like people base like
they
what
don't
they think
they're in. I know they're in a miscible court. There's a reason they're in a miscible court. Yeah. Lie detectors are not good.
An opinion. Like, it seems like, from my understanding, because my strongest reaction was to that question, that made me deceptive.
That's bull.
But the thing I was trying to say is,
I pulled it back. I was close. I almost said BS there. BC. I don't even
bull crap.
Oh, yeah, I could say that. Why would I stop it?
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say.
No, I was going to say bullshit.
No, I know. Right. Yeah.
I stopped it.
But like, what I was saying to him was, if I was on a lie detector and let's say it was about, you know, like murder or like cheating, wouldn't you be the most nervous
for
that question?
Yes. Because
here's the thing. I can't control what this lie detector test says. Yeah. Like, I know what the truth is. I believe Jalen's the best player. But what I thought was interesting, it came across that I was deceptive on questions where I feel like it's not a simple yes or no. Like, there's like opinion in it, right?
Yeah. Guess what, afternoon show? You're going to be upset with my list too. So
I know who your number one will be if I had to guess.
Yeah, it's freaking Jalen. They could suck it.
Well, what I said to, I forget what show I was on, is like the lie detector test is an opinion. Jalen's resume is not.
Yeah. Like, boom. All right. I will say doing this list made me feel good. We got a lot of good players. You know,
mine up and see.
Okay, good. I had a lot of problems keeping it to 10. I wanted to put 11. I feel like there are 11 people who deserve to be on this list. So, but I will.
I was at like 12. Okay, where I was like these 12 guys.
I was at 11. I basically have two spots for three people at the end. And
who are your guys that didn't go on?
So I didn't even make a list that didn't go on. You could
just, I mean, like, yeah,
I'd have to think about the rest of the team. Right. Like, we'll get there. The point is, like, we could do my list and figure out, like, Cam Jurgens didn't make it.
Are you starting at 10 or 1?
I'll go start at 10.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is I have basically 11, 10, and 9. These three players I have to pick two from, and then my list is fine. But picking between Zach Bond, Jordan Davis, and Lane Johnson at the end. The Lane Johnson thing is just like pure injury and all that stuff, but I think he has to be on it. So I'll put
Lane. So I'll tell you like where I had players as you go. So I put Lane 5, which I definitely agree off last season is high. I do think he deserves a little like all-time legend.
So that's why I'm putting him. He makes my list. He makes
so I
my
put
list.
Him higher than you.
So but. It's Lane, Bond, and Davis are my three bottom
so
guys.
So I had Bond and Davis at 10 and 9.
So there we go. So yeah. We're a similar page there. I'm probably, I guess I will take Davis off and put Bond ahead of him just because a little bit more success, but I do think Davis is more important to the future. I would choose Davis to keep on the team over Bond, but for right now this year, I'll take Bond over Davis. So Davis doesn't make my list just barely.
So one way I viewed this too was like, if other teams got to pluck players off the roster.
So that's different.
I know it's different.
Cause yeah, I think they would take Jordan Davis over Zach.
Sure. Bond. I agree. But I think Zach Bond gets underrated because he's a linebacker. But I would say, like, in terms of just pure impact on the team, he's probably top five. Like, he is very.
That's why I had him on there. So Jordan Davis is my top cut, and I feel bad about it. So my list is 10 Lane Johnson, 9 Zach Bond. Now we get into the guys who were never in question. They were always going to make the list. This is number 8. And honestly, it could be too low. It could be too high. I don't know. We haven't seen him play as an Eagle.
Right.
But Jonathan Grenard is at number 8 on my
list. So I didn't put Grenard on mine because he's never played for the team, but I think it's fair to put him on. I think of every player on this list, if you told me who is most likely to be in the top three that isn't this year, I think it's great.
That's why I'm it's kind of a weak job by me. I'm kind of hedging with it. Yeah. I'm putting him at 8. He probably deserves to be higher as a player. Yeah. He has been on the Eagles, so I had him at 8.
The thing with Grenard, I would say too, is I think there's certain players, if you told me their stats for the next year, I would be like, have a pretty good idea of how the team is. I think Grenard's one of them. Like,
I agree.
Grenard feels like the Saquon of 2024, the AJ of 2022, where he's someone that they've spent big money to acquire. He's the big name. And if he has an awesome year, I just think it'd be so good for vibes. I think it'd be good for the team. Like, if he has 12 sacks, I think they're probably going to the Super Bowl.
I
think it's just like a good indicator of how the machine is operating.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
All right. At number 7, and was it down year last year, but I believe in him, your close personal friend, Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, didn't have a great year last year. I actually had him at 7 too.
Okay. Well, look at us.
You know, it was funny. So last night, he was, I don't know, some like decree the city did. I honestly was too nervous to pay attention. And it was funny, and they were reading the decree. They're like listing all of his accomplishments, and they go, in 2024, he had the highest PFF score of anyone.
Oh,
and no, I was like, wow. I was like, whoever wrote this was like a football guy. This is not like some just PR person putting together. Like, this is like someone that follows.
That is deep. That is a deep.
It is, thing. Isn't it? And like a decree being like PFF decreed, score. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Pretty good. All right, so I have my lot at 7. I have Devontae Smith at number 6.
So I had Devontae at 8.
Okay. I wasn't sure between basically like this is like a tier for me. Devontae Mailata, Grenard, like kind of similar in terms of ranking.
I'm not trying to paint myself in the anti-Devontae corner because I think Devontae is an outstanding player. I'm not as like Devontae breakout season as other people are. I think he will get more targets probably like just naturally, but I think they're going to try to spread the ball around. I did a list also of like the 10 players who are most important to winning next year. And I had Devontae 10. Like,
I think you're underrating him.
I think I am.
Yeah. I think you're overreacting to spread. I think he'll still be the primary receiver, but I get your point.
Yeah. So
there could be a world where next season we're like, wow, Mekhi Lemon's just as valuable as Devontae or whatever Devontae, it is.
Or Wicks, Tavian or Wicks or honestly Goddard. Like, Goddard's
probably not,
get the
but
ball.
I get your point.
Yeah. So I'm a little lower on Devontae than other people.
All right. My top 5, I'm guessing it's probably pretty similar to yours. Just in terms of order and whatnot. Now, there's another hedge one because this guy should probably be like 2.
Well, I guarantee you there's one of my top
2
five you don't have.
Or 10 or whatever. So I guess this guy might not. If I had to bet on all my guys who's not in yours, basically, I have Saquon at 5.
So I don't have Saquon in my top
10. So there
10.
We go. That's what I figured was the difference. I think that's crazy that I'm in the top 10. I get it. I think it's like, I think it's insane. I think he's going to bounce back this year. I think he's actually going to be awesome this year. I'm actually really in on a Saquon bounce back year. But like, you could argue 5 is kind of a hedge. Like, he could be 2, he could be 10, but like, he probably won't be right in the middle. But
yeah, I think there's like a better chance, to your point. I think he's either like
2 or 12 or
not on the So my thing with Saquon about believing in a bounce back for him, and maybe this isn't fair to single him out this way, But running backs that have all those touches, like there's just a track record of them never bouncing back.
That's not necessarily true. It's usually just the year after. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys bounce back after a
Christian year. Christian McCaffrey did recently.
A bunch. I mean, Adrian Peterson came back. I mean, there's a ton who came back.
I just like, again, to my thing, and this is why I might list annoy people, but like, I just think if GMs could pluck 10 players off the Eagles, I don't know if Saquon would be one of them anymore. Like,
I don't know if he would or wouldn't. But again, we are looking at the disc.
No, I agree. Yeah.
I think he's one of their 10 best players right now. And I think he's going to be awesome.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Is he definitely better than like my
life? Of course, he's not definitely better. Okay. I'm just saying what I think is going to happen. Yeah. I think Saquon, like, again, I think if I had to bet, I think it's more likely we end the year with Saquon at number 2 than at number 11 or 12. Well, you know what I mean?
I guarantee you this. The fact that I'd have him in my top 10, he's about to have 2,000 yards.
He's going to have a huge year.
And he's going to bring it up to me.
I mean, we're only a year removed from him being, you know, we would have Jalen, but for most people, the
agreed.
Best player.
I agree with that.
All right. My top 4 for me was pretty unassailable. It was the first 4 names I thought of very clearly. I have Cooper DeJean at 4.
Okay.
Feel pretty good about it. I have Jalen Carter at 3. I don't care that you have a bit of a down year. I think that's enough. I'm expecting a Carter bounce back year 2. I think we didn't talk enough, and I've said this, about how overworked he was in 24 and what he had to do last year. So I think he bounces back. And I have Quinyon at number 2, and I have Jalen at 1. And I feel super strongly about my top
5. So I had the same top 3, I think. Or no. So I had Jalen Carter 6. I was a little more harsh on him.
I mean, get it. It's fair. Yeah. It's fair.
Like, Quinyon and Cooper have been better in their 2 back-to-back years.
Again, my top 4 is super, super, like, definitive.
So I had Jalen 1, obviously. We'll talk about that in a second.
And Quinyon 2.
Quinyon 2.
Quinyon, like, outside of Jalen, I think if you're someone who does not believe in Jalen Robert, I think it is almost inarguable that right now Quinyon Mitchell is the Eagles' best non-quarterback player.
Cooper 3. So I had Jalix Hunt 4.
Ooh, I should have had Jalix on my I love Jalix.
Yeah.
He would probably be in the Jordan Davis, Lane Johnson, Zach Bond range for me. I don't know that he would have made it. He's 12, but he's the guy I forgot. I did this quick at work. I wouldn't put him above them, but I do love Jalix.
I think we underestimate
him. I think
him.
That is insanely high for him. I love it. You're predicting a breakout as
well. And also my argument for him is he led the team in sacks, interceptions, and tackle for a loss last year. He plays a premium position. He was top 20 in the entire league in hurries for edge rushers. He had one of the best pass rush win rates on the team. And I think he was relatively high in the league. I don't have it in front of me. Like, he's an awesome edge. He's good against the run. No, you agree he's good against the run? I feel like you would know more about that than me.
Yeah, I think he is.
There we go. So, like, I just think we underestimate. Like, we talk about Quinyon Cooper and Jalen Carter. I think Jalix belongs in maybe they're not the same class as Quinyon and Cooper. And I know Jalen Carter has had a more premium season, but not by much. Like, 2024 Jalen Carter was better than 2025 Jalix Hunt, but let's not act like
he was much better. I think you're misremembering.
Dude, Jalix Hunt,
Jalen Carter helped them win the Super Bowl.
Agreed. He was awesome.
He had their 2 biggest plays of the season.
He was, for sure. He was unbelievable. And
he was the best player.
He was
defensively
better.
On the,
I agree. Yeah,
I think Jalix Hunt is really good. I think you're a little overrating how good he was last year. I don't think he was the best player on the defense last year. Quinyon was.
Agreed. Well, I have Quinyon and Cooper ahead of him. Yeah.
Cooper, I think he's very good. I should have, like, I would have him at the back end of the list. I think he has not earned 3 yet. I think I think if you're predicting that after this season he'll be there, that's a different thing. But I think heading into this year, I think that's too high.
So the Quinyon and Cooper thing, I've been thinking a lot recently about, like, what they're going to do with Cooper after this year. And I do think they will pay him, to be clear. I don't think Cooper will ever play for another team unless it's, like, you know, end of their career or whatever. But man, how do you go about paying him? Because
pay him like an outside
Nichols
corner.
And if I'm Cooper, I would want my agent talking to him now, being like, to be clear, like, I will continue to play the role you want, but I want to be paid like a top 3 corner in the NFL next year, because it's not fair to ask me to do a task and then next year be like, well, you don't play on the outside.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Are you good as he is?
I don't know
on
if
the
Cooper
outside.
Can play
outside.
I know. When he did it last year, and I don't think it's fair to judge him off that, but he got torched in
you're
that
right.
Cowboys
it's a
game.
Fascinating, especially with Quinyon there, who's definitely going to get
and
paid
Quinyon's
number one.
Going to get paid an absurd amount.
Whatever
of money.
The most a corner has been paid, it's going to be what Quinyon gets. Like, he will be the highest paid corner ever when he gets paid.
And I'll say this, like, Cooper strikes.
And he'll deserve it.
Yeah. And Cooper strikes me as someone that's very excited to get a lot of money.
Oh, I think so. So are like, you kidding me? I don't know that Quinyon even knows what money is. Like, Quinyon just comes in and works. Like, Cooper likes to have fun.
Yeah, like, okay? Quinyon, I can picture.
And good for him. He work hard, play hard, clearly. But, like, Coop with money, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Agreed. So, like, Quinion, to your point, I think will be the highest paid corner, but there is definitely a world where Quinion just like gets a text from his agent one day. And it's like, it's like, oh, you came in at number three. And he's like, whatever. Right. I think Cooper is like probably already thinking about these things. So it will be very interesting to see, like,
fascinating.
Does he ask to get moved to safety?
Point.
You know, like safeties get paid more. So it's an interesting one. Jalen, number one, though.
Yeah.
I want you to like, I give
just,
your kiss.
Like, it's just so silly. Like, I understand that last year Jalen didn't have as good a season as he had before.
Which is funny, he had a career high in touchdown passes.
Which is funny.
I think
this guy, look, you know, I believe that the quarterback makes everything run. I think it's the hardest position in sports. I think it's the most important position in sports. And I think that if you play quarterback at a high level, you are so much better at football than everyone else in terms of rankings. Like, if we really did it right, it should be like 18 quarterbacks in a row and then everything else.
Yes.
We don't always do it that way. That's not interesting. It's not fun to do rankings that way. So people do them that way. But we're talking about who's the most important best player on the Eagles. It's clearly Jalen.
I agree.
He's so much better.
I agree.
He just has a much harder job than everyone else.
Well, so in one thing, and it's hard to do this without like feeling like I'm arguing against Spike and Jack with this, but like,
who just walked in. I'm looking at Jack right now.
I knew when you made that little,
He didn't even look over there. He just walked in like pretending to ignore us.
So
that's true.
As it falls back apart.
Two games in a row.
Like, so Spike said to me, and I think it's like a fair question. So is the quarterback always number one, right? And I'm like, no, if the quarterback won Super Bowl MVP and has been to the playoffs.
Yeah, if the quarterback's bad, he's not number one.
If they're
7-9,
I'm not going to like be like, it's the quarterback.
Yes.
But
yes, if they're good, yes.
Yeah,
the quarterback's
if the team
always
is
number
good
one.
For five
That's
years.
The way the sport's built.
Yeah. And I also think we go a little far in terms of discussing Jalen, well, maybe not a little far, like discussing his weaknesses.
A lot far?
Like, we get it. He doesn't throw over the middle and he has to get better at it. But ultimately, he has still been the quarterback for the best stretch in franchise history, maybe by a wide margin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do think 2000, 2004 gets underrated because they made it so far each year. But this team won a Super Bowl and went to two. So it's, and they won double digit games every year. So, like, this is clearly the best stretch. And I think over the last 5 years, if you removed any one player from the roster, the player that would have the biggest impact would clearly be Jalen. Like, it's not close. So, and frankly, when Tanner McKee went in last year, and I know it's a different situation, but I think you saw how much like Jalen makes the car go. So the lie detector can say what it's want. Like, I feel very confident that Jalen is the best.
Yeah, I'm very anti-lie detector. So,
well, I'm trying to be nice because I met him and he was a nice guy.
So not the guy's fault that the thing sucks. It is what it is.
It is what it is. You're correct.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
All right, let's get to final thoughts.
Okay. Well, again, as always, you quickly went to it.
And I always do though.
The issue is you pull it up like, cause you know, you're going
I always,
to
yeah.
It.
Well, and this one I was good at on Tuesday. I don't even need to pull it up. I knew what I was doing. I
mean, oh, okay. So I've written down here story about the animals.
Ooh.
And at first I was like, what is this?
I love when you can't remember the note.
But now I remember it.
Yes.
So
Noah's Ark. That's the story he's telling.
I went to
World the band.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know what that is. Is there a band, The Animals? I mean, there probably is.
Yes.
It feels like
House of the Rising Sun.
House of the Rising Sun.
Yeah, I feel like a band would take that name pretty early.
It's a good name.
Yeah. I don't think it's a great name.
So
it's very basic.
Great name.
So anyways,
not a lot of the bands anymore, you know?
You're right.
Remember the band? I do. MTV made it.
Vaguely. Now that you're saying it, I do.
One of the rappers' names was Elliot Ness. I had that on my high school t-shirt.
Do you know who Elliot Ness is?
Yeah, he's like an old-time mobster guy. Yeah.
Nope.
Is he a cop?
Yes.
Okay, well, he's in like that world.
He caught Al Capone.
Okay, that's great. Okay. Wow, so Elliot Ness named himself after a cop. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's a cop. Yeah.
Wow, you said it, not me. That was
good. Yeah.
That was really good. All right, so 2 weeks ago, I was in Mexico for Brian Micus's wedding.
Shout out to Brian and Kelsey.
Love that guy. Awesome time.
Don't know Kelsey. I'm sure she's great, but Brian's awesome.
Yes. They actually met at the Eagles Chiefs game in 2023 at a tailgate.
No way.
She lived in Seattle. He lived in.
So fans of Philly brought them together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Funny story, too, before this turns into too long of a story. That was when Taylor Swift and Travis were at their height. So Kristen and me made a bunch of Taylor Swift bracelets to give out to people at the tailgate that said like little things. And we gave one to Brian, who then went up, gave it to Kelsey. And that's how they were introduced.
Ah.
So I basically got them together.
Look at you.
Basically Kristen did. But so anyway, they got married in Mexico 2 weeks ago and we're at an all-inclusive resort. Right. And have you guys been to all-inclusive?
Resort? I have.
Yes. Yes. So no big deal to any of us. So anyway, we're like by the pool and we want to get food, right? And we are on a bit of a tight frame here. So I like gave the guy like a pretty big tip just to be like, I need the food.
Move quick. It quick. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're sitting at our chairs. The food comes out and I'm very excited for this food. And so we're sitting down. It's about to, you know, we're about to eat it. And like birds start to come around and I'm like, this is a little annoying, but whatever. And then there were these like creatures that weren't raccoons, but they were like, I would guess like whatever the Mexico version of a raccoon is, like very similar, right? Mexican version. Like it was like, it looked like a raccoon only had a tail and a long snout, gotcha. But it wasn't like an anteater. Gotcha. So we had seen them throughout the week and they would like kind of walk by, but they were very peaceful. I kid you not, 20 of these things come up and circle us. One jumps on Kristen's chair, takes her quesadilla off. So first of all, props to Kristen.
What?
So it comes up
at an all-inclusive resort.
It's crazy. So props to Kristen because it comes up close to her and she does like a little like shoo, whatever. Yeah. It then jumps up. She like put her arm out. I don't know if they ever like touched. But like I meanwhile got up, grabbed my plate and like ran.
Yeah, and that's classic Ellie right there. Yeah.
It was crazy. So then we turn and there's like 15 of them. They like literally started pillaging through people's bags. We left. Apparently animal control had to get called because like they were taking bags.
This is insane.
It was insane. Yeah. And so like now the other cool part of the animals was like, I got some crazy monkey videos.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Dude,
monkeys, I fully believe know they're performing. Like this one monkey was hanging from a thing and was like scratching itself and like banging its head. And everyone's going like, oh, like it was definitely loving the reaction. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So like I had this amazing burrito in front of me. Kristen had a quesadilla. We were very excited to eat. And these things just took it.
Wow.
Flat out took it.
That's tough.
And it's like, what are you going to do? Like, I don't know what
resort to, I guess it's all inclusive. So you're already paid for it.
Yeah. Right. Right. And you know, they did get us
more food. I would hope. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was wild.
That's a wild story.
I was thinking like, what if it?
No, well, that's what my first thought was, like you get rabies or something.
Yeah. Like I'd be very worried about that.
And I don't think they'd be out in the daytime if they had rabies, or maybe they are out. I think they're nocturnal.
Yeah, but these were out all the time.
We don't know if they're raccoons. Anyway, yeah. That's a great story.
It was, and it was pretty wild. Actually,
you're okay, buddy.
Thank you. While you pull your,
I don't need to pull it up. I know what I'm doing.
Okay. Do you want to see a picture of one of them?
Sure.
I don't know if I have
Mexican raccoons.
I don't know if I have a picture of one. Well, but
you really?
I Google Mexican raccoons. Yeah. They're just raccoons from Mexico.
I figured it was.
Yeah. Here, this is what it looks like. This is not great podcasting.
Oh, wow. I don't think that's a raccoon.
No, but don't you think it has a similar vibe to a raccoon?
I guess so. Yeah, it's like a small capybara or something.
Yeah.
Like what animal would you compare it to?
A capybara.
That's like a pretty specific animal. I feel like we're talking basic animals. That's like being like, what bird does that describe you?
It's a little bit like a fox with the redness. Yeah,
show it to me again. Yeah, it does have like a fox coloring.
Right?
It's weird. I guess a raccoon's fine. That's
just show it to me real fast and then I'll... Fox.
Fox. Okay.
It's the face is a very raccoon though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a rodent of some.
Doesn't your phone tell you what kind of animal?
I'll post these in the Go Birds Insider thing, but like here are the look at this monkey, right?
Yeah, he's having a good time.
Oh, look at him just hanging out.
It was crazy. So anyway, it was a very fun wedding. It was an awesome time, but that was a crazy story.
That is a crazy
story. I don't know what the resort's supposed to do other than like,
you should have been taking a video of that. That's the video we wanted to see.
Of grabbing Kristen getting it. Well, it was
you blew it.
A top 10.
You blew it.
In terms of animal moments in my life, it's probably the scariest. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've had any other.
My face got ripped
open
by a dog, so I feel like I've got everyone.
True,
on
yours
that,
is yeah, but you went face first in, so I don't know if you get to qualify that as scary.
Well,
but yeah,
it's attached to your face.
No, you're right.
It's
definitely qualifies as scary. Yeah.
Right. All right. My final thought. I saw a movie. I think I must have seen it was like 12 or 13, 14, whatever. It's because it's one of the greats, and I watch it way too young for it.
Right.
So for the first time since then, like 30 years, whatever, I watched Citizen Kane.
Wow.
Heard of it?
Vaguely.
Tell me. Oh my God.
Rosebud.
I've never heard of Citizen Kane. To me. Isn't Citizen Kane a band?
No.
Hold on.
No.
Citizen Kane
is considered the greatest movie of all time by most people. It's that, Vertigo, Godfather, whatever lists you look at, the A5, the Sight and Sound.
Is this the
Citizen Kane? Yes. Wow. It is on every list.
Talk about an old movie cover.
Obviously heard of Citizen. It's from 1941.
Yeah, it's pretty old.
I never sat down and watched the whole thing. But you know
what it is, and you know that it is considered the greatest movie of all
Orson
time.
Orson Welles.
Yeah, Orson Welles. Yes.
So without starting like a heated debate, because then you can go. I will say, like, calling this the best movie of all time is like saying, Eagles quarterback?
Don't speak ignorantly.
I think it's a different generation. So, like, you can't even compare. Like,
you can. That's the thing. All right. Here's what I will say, because I went in thinking that it was going to be a little boring. It's underrated. It is the most amazing accomplishment that I have ever seen on a screen. Like, what this guy did, Orson Welles, like, all-time genius. Like, honestly, I've never been more impressed with one person in a movie, in what this guy did, especially in 1941. Like, it somehow feels both like you're seeing something that's been iterated on thousands of times over the years, but still felt original. Things I've never seen anyone do. Like, I cannot speak highly enough about Citizen Kane is miraculous. It is a miraculous. It is.
You think it was better than Bohemian Rhapsody?
That's a bad movie. Like, honestly, I've never seen. It felt like every movie. Basically, this guy had a million ideas, put them all in the movie, and somehow they all work. It's about basically the story of William Randolph Hearst. I'm guessing someone else you don't know, like the ultimate media tycoon in America, you know, like newspaper tycoon, owning all the newspapers. Like, so it's basically about a newspaper tycoon and this essentially the story of his life. Hmm. And Rosebud is like beautiful.
Is it funny?
Like, it is beautiful.
What's Rosebud?
Rosebud is the it's also kind of a mystery. So the movie essentially begins with him dying and his last word is Rosebud. And he says,
this a spoiler.
Rosebud. Well, it's like the most movie's famous 80 spoiler years old. Of all time. 85 years old.
Seen it.
I won't say it.
Honestly, God, I'm not like being a hater, but what percentage of our audience do you think has seen it?
I don't know what's seen it, but I think a high percentage has heard of it.
That's fair.
I think there's probably, unless you're like a film guy, you might not have seen it. Or I think if you're of a certain age, I think if you're 50 or older, I think a lot of people have seen it, you know, because you're closer to it when it happened and stuff. Like, I saw it growing up. You know, I'm 44.
The funniest part of our movie discussions is my mom has a PhD in film. It is the ultimate funniest part.
It is great. Let's put it this way. I guarantee your mom knows Citizen Kane.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like, honest, if you like movies and you like to, that's the other thing. It is cool to see these movies that were the genesis for so many things. There's so many things you see in Citizen Kane where you're like, wow, that was the first time that happened. And then it happened a million other times because of that. I'm just saying, Citizen Kane might be underrated. It might be underrated.
It's going to make it.
It is. Like, that and The Godfather, the two best movies I've ever seen. The Godfather is more entertaining and a little more fun. So it's like, what does better mean? But I've never had my mind blown by a movie as much as by Citizen Kane. That's what I'll say.
So you saw it once when you were young, like, and then yes. So okay. So you bait like
it was for the first time. Kind of like this watching was it like watching time. It for exactly, the first time, wow. For sure.
Surprised you hadn't watched it more recently.
It's one of those I meant to. Been on my list for a decade.
Did you stream it? I would guess.
I bought it for $4.99 eventually. Wow. So it was one of those where I would have had to rent it. Like, it's never free, so I had to buy it.
That's a major detractor for me watching it.
Well, I mean, it was rent for $3.99, buy for $4.99. It's a great deal.
No, that is a good deal for renting and buying. I agree with that. I do think you should kind of just get the movie when
We've
you
talked
buy
about
it.
This.
Like, what are we doing here? Renting it for 48 hours. Like, you just own it at that point. Like, there's not a real copy you're giving us. Like, it's just a digital copy.
But anyway, Citizen Kane is great.
Have they
a real hot take?
They ever like remade it? Seems like a prime remake category.
No, buddy.
No. Buddy. Well, why? Like,
you don't remake Citizen Kane. It's the best movie ever.
To be fair.
You only remake things if they need to be remade. Like, what are you talking about?
That's your opinion. Like,
I hate that.
No, I know
it.
You do. I know
there
you
are
do.
Certain things that, first of all, they couldn't remake it.
This guy looks like Ted Lasso. That's in it.
That's him as an old. That's.
I think that looks like Ted Lasso. I mean, a lot of looking at
it's
the phone.
It's Orson Welles, but that's him with
Orson
makeup.
Orson Welles
and stuff.
With a mustache?
Yeah,
it's Orson Welles with a mustache.
It looks like Orson Welles with a mustache.
Yeah, it looks like
which
Orson
is Ted
Welles.
Lasso.
Not really.
Well, I'm saying like they remake a ton of movies. Like, so I'm surprised
if it's
considered the best movie of all time. I'm surprised no
they
one
don't
in 60
remake
years.
The best movies of all time. Like, they never remake Casablanca, Godfather. Like, the point is, if it's of a certain level of good, they don't remake it. The only one that did it was Psycho, and it was such a dumb idea. It was a shot for shot. It was a disaster.
Right.
Like, you don't
with Vince Vaughn, right?
Yeah, with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, that sounds like
it was a horrible one of the worst ideas I've ever heard of. And they did it shot for shot. But like Jaws, they didn't remake Jaws. They didn't like the best movies of all time, Star Wars. They don't get remade. They get sequels,
right?
But they don't get remade. The remakes are like, generally you should do remakes. There are some good movies that get remade, like, but usually it's a mistake. Find me a remake of a great movie that's better. Never happens.
Yeah. So. I'm a little surprised though. I'm not.
Will never be a Citizen Kane remake. It's like, you shouldn't be surprised. You're just saying,
unfortunately,
so it doesn't matter. I know,
but I just
be more knowledgeable.
Well, I just think like ultimately in a society that's about making money, it's surprising that a movie that was black. But
you understand the point is people be like, we don't want this. You will not make money off Citizen Kane because it is like a sacrilege to remake Citizen Kane. Do you know what I mean? Like people would not go see it.
But I think like,
The reason it's amazing is because of Orson Welles. It's his vision. It's what he does with the camera. It's the angles he takes. Like all that stuff. The point is his thing.
Right.
So like you can't remake
remaster it and put it in theaters. I'm just surprised.
Well, I'm sure they've done that over time. Yeah. It's in theaters in New York all the time. Anyway,
it is interesting. They don't remake great movies.
I think it's the right thing to do.
I don't think it's like offensive to the movie.
I think it's a little offensive to certain movies. I mean, like A Star Is Born was good recently. That's a remake of,
I don't think that is a couple times. It is. I'm just saying.
Multiple remakes. There are like four of them or whatever.
Which is crazy when I found that out.
Scarface is technically
a remake. Yeah. Some of the stuff they remade some of the stuff in like the 20s and the 30s. Those movies that have been remade are solid, but
there's definitely
one I'm missing. That's like, there are some really good ones, but for the most part, the point is there a movie reaches a certain level. You just don't remake it.
Well, you know what remake I'm really excited for.
Oh God. I don't even want to know what.
Harry Potter. I'm just kidding.
Oh, the TV show. All right, we're good. Fritz is probably freaking out right now.
Oh, are you doing High Hopes?
Yes. Okay. I told him we'd be done earlier than this.
I thought we weren't going to be.
All right. We'll be back next week. No show this Saturday off from Memorial Day, but back next week, normal pod shows, whole thing. Until then, these items. Oh, yeah. Check out the Daily Pod, Elliot Mannion, all that good stuff. Check it out. It's going to be great stuff. All right. Until then, these items.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.